The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking levels, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Yo, hey, welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. You know, I was going to do this yesterday, but I kind of ran out of time. And we fit everything into the hour, so that was good. But I did have this little leftover piece here that I think we need to just start with today. And I would have actually started with it, except, of course, I wasn't ready. I got caught not ready. I got caught unaware. So let me find it. Where did I put? Oh, there it is. Okay. So basically what it is a song for my fellow Floridians, and it's courtesy of the one and only Randy Rainbow. If I can figure out how to get this up here. I hate when I do this. I was so ready. I was so prepared. And I screwed it all up. All right. You know what? I'm going to have to bring it down to this window because I can't find it there. Where did I put it? All right. Now I'm losing my mind. I'll tell you what. Let me do it this way. You know, let me bring in Laffy first because I'm all discombobulated. And of course, I'm not even ready for Laffy. God, you can't take me anywhere. I swear. All right. Let's do this.
Here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with pal Laff on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, every other Tuesday or thereabouts, our pal Laffy joins us. Hey, Laffy.
Hey.
How are you?
trying to get things organized, are you?
Yeah, you know, trying to just get things where they're supposed to be. And I've been screwing it up left and right. Yeah, you know, and I think
I'm going to get Randy.
I've got Randy. I got Randy standing by and ready to go. Hold on one second. Okay. Let me just move. I just got to move a couple of things around. All right. So I got to move you here.
This one's so good.
Yeah.
This one is so good, you know,
special for my state, which is just the state of insanity, I suppose.
Right.
Give me one more second because I want to make the screen look good. I can't, you know. I have the best intentions, and I swear, I think I'm all ready to go until I hit, like, start, and I realize, oh, shit, I screwed that up, and I didn't get that ready, and oh, my goodness. All right, we're ready to go now. You ready?
Yay.
For Randy Rainbow? Ready. Take it away.
Yeah.
Randy.
You're back, and I'm joined now by Ron DeSantis, governor of the great state of...
Wait, which is the one that's shaped like a big...
Florida.
Right, Florida. Sir, you recently signed into law the controversial Parental Rights in Education Bill, which some have called the Don't Say Gay Bill, and others have called the Girl F*** That Bill.
I think it's probably the most comprehensive piece of legislation I've seen.
Critics say that this bigoted legislation will rob kids of a safe space to have a healthy discussion about their identities. I mean, how would you feel if we signed a bill prohibiting everyone from talking about slimy, self-interested douchebag politicians with no sex appeal who buy all their suits off the clearance rack at Burlington Coat Factory?
We at the state can stop that. I look and see how this media operates, this corporate media. What about all the people they've smeared over the years who are not governors?
Someone's being an asshole. That's no way to be. Honey D, here's the tea. Gosh, I'd hate to upset your Republican peers. So let me say this soft so no one hears. I've always been.
Here's an interesting fact.
Gay. Oops, I said it. I'm gay. You can bet it's a badge that I wear with a fabulous flair. Cause I'm gay, 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 gay. Sorry. Honey, I'm queer as a drag queen's brassiere. And although you might think that I'm flawed, hey, I'm gay as a Broadway premiere. All your thinly veiled hate is a dangerous trend. It's such a fun cliche, but you'd rather talk straight and add a hate to offend. So I'll try not to say that I'm as gay as an Easter bouquet. I'm as gay as the cast of Euphoria or a Sephora display.
You go to the jail.
Girl, I'm as fruity as Gaga in Gucci and gorgeously. Ooh, I almost said it again. God, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
Hey, Ron DeSantis. Hey, gay, gay. Hey, Ron DeSantis. Hey, girl. Hey.
Come on. Why can't you say it too?
Hey, Ron DeSantis. Say it too. There's nothing naughty or risky. There's nothing wrong with LGBTQ.
I'm not backing down.
Rainbow.
It went really well.
It was disgraceful.
Okay.
Stop that.
I think he's gay.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
A little bit. Slightly gay. Yes. So thank you, Randy Rainbow, for the laughs, because I got to tell you, day didn't start off with a lot of laughs. In fact, we're going to just jump right in because I got to show you some of this stuff. So, Vladimir Zelensky addressed the United Nations Security Council today because he had a few things to say. Now, the speech went on for, I don't know, about 15 minutes or so. Obviously, I'm not going to play the whole thing. And after his speech, he showed a video. It sounds like me, like I was at the controls or something, because they weren't quite ready for the video when he finished the speech. So they had to go to a few different people, and then they came back to watch the video, but I knew it was coming, and so I went searching for it. And I'll tell you something, everybody needs to watch it, but I will not play it on this program. It is so disturbing. It's about, I don't know, it can't be more than 2.5 minutes long, but it's what we heard about this morning.
It's graphic.
It was, we heard about the people that, all the people in this town. This was not Mariupol. This was this other town that the Russians occupied and took over. And when they finally departed to go, I don't know, try to take over Odessa, what happened was they found, when the Ukrainians went back in to retake the town, they found dead bodies everywhere. They were strewn on the roads. They were dumped in ditches. They were down holes. They showed people with their hands tied behind their backs and then executed. It was so disturbing. So yes, watch it. But no, I'm not going to play it during the show because frankly, I can't watch it again. And you just need to see it once. So
and this is what Putin calls crisis actors.
Right, right. He said,
when you see little children with their fingers missing and their legs next to them, severed.
Yes.
You see, it's graphic detail. If you have a weak stomach, you should still watch it because this is reality.
Yes,
now.
Yes, but I'm not going to show it. Right. You have to be prepared for it. And in fact, when I was getting ready, you know, I follow Randy Rhodes on the Progressive Voices Network. And I heard the music because they have this morose, like, violin music playing behind it. And I knew she was showing it. And I was really surprised because, frankly, that's what deserves an X rating. I don't care about people having sex. That's natural. This is murder. These are dead bodies. And again, I'm glad that he showed it because he needed to show it. In fact, after that, the woman, there's, I guess, every year, another country's ambassador to the United Nations becomes the president of the UN Security Council. And now it's the ambassador from the UK. And this is what she said when the video ended. This is what she said.
I would like to thank the delegation of Ukraine for sharing that video with us. The images are harrowing. Speaking in my national capacity, we are appalled by what we have seen and reiterate our solidarity with Ukraine. I resume my function as the council president, and I now give the floor to the representative of Gabon.
See, she couldn't do it in her capacity as president. She did it as the representative from the UK. She can say it was appalling. And now, you know, you could see it on her face. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what we were feeling. Now, when Zelensky, when the president spoke, he did talk about what the Russians did to his people in that town.
I am addressing you.
This is the voice of the interpreter, is a woman speaking.
You on behalf of the people who honor the memory of the deceased every single day in the memory of the civilians who died, who were shot and killed in the back of their head after being tortured. Some of them were shot on the streets. Others were thrown into the wells. So they died there in suffering. They were killed in their apartments, houses, blowing up grenades. Civilians were crushed by tanks while sitting in the cars in the middle of the road.
Oh, man.
Just for their pleasure. They cut off limbs, slashed their throats. Women were raped and killed in front of their children. Their tongues were pulled out only because the aggressor did not hear what they wanted to hear from them. So this is no different from other terrorists such as Daesh, who occupied some territories.
That's ISIS,
and here
Daesh.
It is done by a member of the United Nations Security Council, destroying internal unity, borders, countries, and taking the right of more than a dozen of countries who are self-determined and independent. They pursue a consistent policy of destroying ethnic and religious diversity. They inflame wars and deliberately lead them in such a way that to kill as many regular civilians and cities, to leave the country where they deploy their troops in ruins and filled with mass graves.
Filled with mass graves. In fact, they shot down into those mass graves. And by the way, thank you, Sydney, for the correction in the chat room. The president of the UN Security Council rotates every month. Sorry, not every year. It's every month. So that was Zelensky at the beginning of his address to the Security Council. At the end, he said there's two things you can do. Here's the two things you can do.
Ukraine has the moral right to propose a reform of the world security system. We have proven that we helped others not only happy time, but in dark times too. And now we need decisions from the Security Council for peace in Ukraine. If you do not know how to make this decision, you can do two things. Either remove Russia as an aggressor and a source of war, so it cannot block decisions about its own aggression, its own war, and then do everything that we can do to establish peace. Or if there is no alternative and no option, then the next option would be dissolve yourself altogether. And I know that you can admit that if there is nothing that you can do besides conversation, we need peace. Ukraine needs peace. Europe needs peace. And the world needs peace.
The world needs peace. So what he said is you can either kick Russia off the Security Council where they don't belong, look at what they did, or you can dissolve this whole body because you do nothing but talk. That's what
he said.
He
said the same thing in his speech, right?
But that was his speech.
That was
his speech.
That was the interpreter. Oh,
right,
okay.
Right. That was his speech.
Okay, so that sounded familiar.
Right, that was the interpreter's voice. But let me share one more thing before we talk. So this, and I've got video of this one, this is the Ukrainian representative to the UN Security Council, the Ukrainian UN ambassador, who spoke directly to the representative from Russia. And this was just perfect.
How have Russians got to the cruelty of Nazis? When have you started enjoying acting like Nazis? Killing civilians, attempting to redraw internationally recognized borders, setting the task to finally resolve the Ukrainian issue, like Hitler attempted to resolve the Jewish issue.
Exactly. So they're acting like the Nazis that they're claiming to be eradicating from Ukraine. No, they're the Nazis. And good on him, this man, for saying that. Just astounding.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody has to say it.
Yeah, right.
And I hope that's played a lot. I haven't been watching TV today, but other than to watch a little bit of Obama and Biden.
I got some of that to share. So that's more lighthearted. But this was, we need to see it.
That needs to be said over and over again.
Yep.
And you know what else needs to be said juxtaposed with that?
What?
How Republicans are doing similar things. They're not committing atrocities in Ukraine, obviously, but they're supporting the wrong people. And they're edging into that rapidly. We need to get these messages out repeatedly.
You know,
and I don't see that happening.
No, and actually, they're playing along with this. I got to show you this one. Hold on, this is I don't even know who posted this. This was from a hold on. This was from on Twitter. Somebody posted this. It's a somebody interviewing a Trump supporter, and it's a very quick, it's going to blow your mind. Hold on. You got to hear this. You got to see this. Let me bring it. I'm going to play video so you can see this woman as she says this stuff, and it's just horrendous. It's just a very quick man on the street kind of thing. And listen to this.
Who would you rather have president, Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin?
Oh, Putin. Definitely.
And why is that?
I believe he's been given a tough... Since World War II, Russia's been the bad guy. When in actuality, the Nazis left Germany and they ended up going to the Ukraine, coming in here. George Bush was actually... Thank you. George Bush was actually a Nazi.
Right.
You know, look, I wasn't a fan of George Bush either, but no, that was Papa Bush, Papa Doc, or actually the grandfather, Prescott, who was the Nazi. So it was in the family, so she's not that far off, but she got the wrong one. Oh, my God. So these people, and I use the term loosely, would rather have Vladimir Putin as our president than Joe Biden. That's despicable.
But they'd also rather have... Trump as president.
Right. Well,
over
of
Joe
course.
Biden.
Of course.
I mean, these people are lost causes. They don't think clearly. They don't know very much. They're ignorant as hell, or they're just, well, they're ignorant, but they're who they are. They're what they are.
They are what
I
they
really,
are.
I don't understand. I know they've always been there. I don't understand how there's been this much tolerance for them. Because this is intolerable. This is unsustainable.
Right. And yet, it's been normalized. Trump insanity.
Right.
It's like, you know, shrug and move on. Like, what? Excuse me? You know, I see our friend Sandy is in the chat room, Environmental Coffee House, and she does a great show on YouTube dealing with climate change and the environment, what's going on. And, you know, the UN's Committee on Climate Change introduced another report yesterday. And this one, it's the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And basically the message from this one was, it's now or never. It's now or never. And as she said, you know, this stuff is everywhere, but that the networks are giving like a minute, if that, of coverage.
I just saw a poll that I retweeted.
Yeah.
That said, how concerned are you about climate change? And it said, very concerned, you know, like really concerned, 35%. Mm. And then a fair amount was, I can't remember, something like that.
Right.
And then 30% what were, fair amount is what got me.
Yeah.
Because the 30%, we just talked about them, that she was in the clip talking about Putin. The 35 or 40% that were very concerned are people like you and me,
yeah,
who do a good amount of watching and listening and reading. And then there's this big chunk in the middle that says, well, yeah, fair amount, but it's not the most important thing.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is the most important thing.
Right now? Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make this refugee problem even worse. You know, everybody keeps asking me about Tanya. Right. So Tanya, for those who don't know, is a woman that I met who is from Kyiv. She and her husband own the Friends Forever Hostel in the center of Kyiv. Her husband is still there because he can't leave because he's between the ages of 18 and 60. She and her friend's little 3-year-old boy left. They went to Poland. And then Tanya's sister, who lives in Dubai, sent them plane tickets to get them out of there. Well, they've now been in Dubai for over a week, and she's just horribly depressed. I didn't hear from her all weekend, and I was a little worried, and I had written to the sister as well, and I didn't get a response from her either, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm, like, injecting too much stress into it. Maybe I'm being a pest. Maybe it's, like, enough already. Shut up. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote to her, and I said, you know, I think that by not engaging with me, you're telling me to back off. So I will. Just know I'm here. Should you want somebody to talk to, and I'm always thinking of you and I really care, but I don't want to add to your stress. And she wrote me back. She just shortly before the show, she said, hello, don't be upset. My behavior is not against you. I go through this horror every day and I'm not always ready to even read my messages. My thoughts are now fixated on horror. I can't stop reading this. I'm worried about all of Ukraine. I just saw and read your messages. I don't remember when I opened them. Probably this is a zombie state. I eat food because I have to. I go to bed because I have to. I read the news because I have to. Now, this is my reality. Please do not be offended by me. My sister is very busy now. She works very hard. Now, thousands of Russians have come to Dubai and want to buy apartments. My sister is a broker. She comes home very late. Therefore, know that I do not feel negative towards you. It's just that sometimes I hide in myself. So I live the pain. Oh, my God. My heart breaks. For her.
I'm tearing up as you're reading this.
Me too. And I just wrote her back a very nice note. I wish I could help. You know, and there's nothing we can do except maybe help her to get home. You know, she wants to go home. She wants to see her husband. And she's seeing the same news that we are. So I promise you, she saw that video as well. And as upset as we were by it, can you imagine if this was your country, your neighborhood, your city? I just can't.
I've been having trouble grasping that this is actually real life. You know, my city, anybody's city. It's just mind-boggling how horrible this is.
Right. And Pamela in the chat room is asking, does Tanya have a blog or anything? Can we help? She doesn't. You know, this is just somebody that I met when I randomly called her business. And so we've kept in touch, and I let her know that I'm sharing her messages with all of you, that she's got a lot of people who are very concerned about her. But just realize she's one of 44 or 45 million Ukrainians who this is affecting in that way. Somebody just said PTSD is contagious. Well, yeah, but they're living it. You know, we feel it, but she's living it. And I can't even, in an earlier message, she said, I haven't even spoken to my husband because I don't want him to hear my tears. Right? It just breaks my heart. Let me play for you. You know, our ambassador to the UN is a woman named Linda Thomas Greenfield. And here's, you know, after Zelensky's speech and the video, each country on the Security Council got to weigh in. Here's what Linda Thomas Greenfield said. Hold on, this is the end of the one before her. I didn't did a bad editing job.
I know it's coming.
Maybe? Okay. Maybe here? Or did I pick up the wrong one? You know, this is me. Hold on. Let me see if I have it here. Linda.
Promptly conducted that. Those children and continue to do so. Russia wants to turn Ukraine into silent slaves.
Okay. Sorry. I have a... I didn't.
Zelensky's speech here. Coming as
no, we... I pulled the wrong clip. So I will share that with you another time, but I don't have it ready now. I guess I pulled the... Saved the wrong
That's
thing
okay.
as that, and it's not that. You know, it's distressing. And how do we impart that? I mean, here's the thing. They need help. And people are split on how we go about helping them. And I honestly don't know the answer. I don't think that sitting back, not that we're sitting back, we are helping with money and supplies and equipment, but the massacres continue. And I hate because it appears that we are sitting back and watching him slaughter thousands, if not millions of people. You know, what happened to Never Again?
Exactly. I have no answers.
Yeah.
I feel this way, the way you just described it, we're sitting back and watching this happen. I feel that way about everything right now. There are so many crises. And again, climate change is the hugest.
Right.
It may not be today, right now, you're getting massacred, so it doesn't feel as immediate, but it is as immediate.
But it is.
It's happening right now.
Let me share this with you. It's in What's News that plays at the very end of the show, but this is important. I need to get it into the body of it.
Yeah.
So the takeaway, it's now or never on climate. Listen to this. Even if humanity manages to immediately phase out all fossil fuels and rein in greenhouse gas emissions, the planetary warming is likely to at least temporarily soar past 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. So what is the significance of the 1.5 degrees Celsius? Okay. Keeping global heating to this level above pre-industrial levels will require preventing greenhouse gas emissions from increasing after 2025 at the latest. The co-chair of this working group, the IPCC, said in a statement accompanying the report, without immediate and deep emissions reductions across all sectors, it will be impossible. The 1.5 degree goal set in the landmark 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change marks the point at which climate experts say the world will reach a tipping point, where even small additional changes could trigger dramatic shifts in ecosystems. We're at that point now. If we don't stop this, there is no turning back. There is no, as they said, it's now or never. How much starker can they make this statement?
Exactly. That is why I feel the same way about it. That's why I was saying, I feel like we're just watching it happen. And, you know, we could do our part individually. Like
yeah, but
do,
you know what? But it's that's not it. Big corporations and nations need to do it. You and I, you're driving your electric car, you know, whatever. Yeah. We don't drive. I mean, those are little things, yes. And we've been doing what we can do. But until the corporations of the world and the nations of the world take it as seriously as we do, nothing's going to happen. And they're not.
Right.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary says we are past the tipping point. Well, the scientists say we're getting to the point where there will be no going back. We've had, you know, I've got an interview coming up on Friday, and actually I'm guest hosting the broadcast that night. I'm probably going to use it on his show on Friday and on this show one day next week. But there's this new book. It's called Fire and Flood, A People's History of Climate Change from 1979 to the Present. And the thing is, do you remember back when, you know, like the first Earth Day and it was like, oh, we need to take care of it, right? And we had 50 fucking years to get this right. And we just, we'll do a beach cleanup. You know, didn't
Wasn't
take it,
Reagan
seriously.
Pulled off the solar panels?
Yes, it was. Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the roof of the White House and Ronald Reagan tore them down.
Right.
It's always a game of it's a one step up and two steps back. Well, we've gone back too far. Gone back too far.
Oh,
so there is other stuff going on. Yes. So let's bring out the tweeties.
I need to go into fetal position.
I know, right? Okay. Hopefully there'll be something humorous in here. And we always have the Joe and Barry show to get to. So we'll do that
too.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Oh, Tamara in the chat room says the Senate is voting right now on moving Ketanji Brown Jackson nomination forward. Is that
okay?
But is that the procedural thing they had to do because it tied in the committee?
Yeah,
or,
I think it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what this is.
I think the vote was supposed to be Thursday.
No, the final vote will be Thursday or Friday, depending on how much this vote today sets up up to 30 hours of debate. So it's how much Mitch McConnell wants to drag it out. And knowing Mitch McConnell, it'll drag it out till Friday. The thing is, after this, they go on recess for 2 weeks. So it's how quickly they want to get out of Dodge. That's what it is. Plus, there's a little bit of the little $10 billion COVID relief package that was whittled down from $22.5 billion. And what does it completely do away with? Global vaccination help. And let me tell you something. We're not going to be over COVID here until the whole planet is over COVID. And by us not helping to get the vaccines out around the planet, enjoy living with COVID for the rest of your life. Okay. Now, tweedly-delete.
Tweedly-delete. Okay. Well, I don't have very good news to start with, some breaking news that happened.
Okay.
Republican Oklahoma lawmakers are misogynist. Why? Because they just approved a bill to make performing an abortion illegal.
Completely illegal. They're totally
illegal.
You know, these states are jumping the gun because Roe v. Wade hasn't yet been overturned. They're just believing that Supreme Court's going to do it. They haven't knocked down any of the other unconstitutional shit we've done around abortion rights. So we'll just go all the way here.
It's punishable up to 10 years in prison.
Oh, my God. So now the Taliban is ruling Oklahoma. I see.
Yeah. The vote was 70-14.
Holy shit.
Catching some by surprise that it passed. Anyway.
70-14?
70-14.
Are there only 14 Democrats in the Oklahoma Assembly? Or did some Democrats actually vote in favor of that?
I'd have to go down and read more. It would make performing an abortion a felony. Anyone convicted would face up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine.
Oh, my God.
The measure heads to Governor Kevin Stitt, Republican, who has signaled his openness to signing anti-abortion legislation. The lawmaker makes an exception if the life of the mother is in danger.
Oh, how human of them.
How magnanimous, yeah. If it is not blocked by the courts, it's scheduled to take effect this summer. I'm trying to see if it says I'm scrolling. No, I don't see any counts. You know, like so-and-so, you know, 14 Dems versus.
Yeah, no, I didn't see
anyway,
that either.
This is only to be topped by Georgia passing a bill restricting discussion of race in schools and allowing a ban on transgender girls from girls' sports teams.
Oh my God!
They're so impotent that the only way they can feel power is to basically, and if you'll excuse the expression, rape us.
Yep.
Because that's what rapists do. They have to feel powerful. So lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, apparently don't feel powerful enough over our, I'm on the wrong one. Oh, I just lost it. Sorry.
Sound like me now.
I thought I had the article, but I just lost it. Why don't I have it? Well, I lost it.
It's okay.
Anywho, so they have to control women's bodies. I mean, women are going to get abortions, but they won't be safe. Or they're going to have to find a way to travel to another
state. To another state.
So they,
well,
right. And did so you, they're okay. not going to stop abortions.
No, but let me give you the other side of the story. As mm-hmm. as Paul Harvey used to say, and now you know mm-hmm. the rest of the story. Okay, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So there's Oklahoma. Oh, I'm thinking of song lyrics in my head, to new lyrics to Oklahoma, where we kill you. Okay. Anyway, but Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, everybody. Okay. Joining a handful of other states in codifying the right to an abortion.
Yes.
In anticipation of the Supreme Court ruling on a case challenging Roe v. Wade, Governor Jared Polis signed into law the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which bans local governments from imposing their own restrictions on reproductive care. He said,
right.
Colorado has been, is, and will be a pro-choice state. Colorado's, yep. Reproductive, Colorado's Reproductive Health Equity Act guarantees access to reproductive health care before and after pregnancy, declares that fertilized eggs, embryos, and fetuses have no independent rights, prohibits local governments from enacting their own abortion restrictions. The state approved the law at several Republican, as several Republican-run states were tightening abortion restrictions, setting up a challenge of abortion rights to the Supreme Court. Polis said no matter what the Supreme Court does in the future, people in Colorado will be able to choose when and if they have children. Thank you,
right. And
Governor Polis.
I posted that tweet yesterday, I think it was, I forgot how many anti-abortion troll accounts.
Oh, God. There are on Twitter.
I mean, oh yeah. Oh
so
man.
So did you hear about the this anti-abortion activist, and they found 5 dead fetuses
yes.
in her house?
Yes.
What's up with that?
That's not sick at all.
No, not at all.
Oh my God.
Not at all.
There, these people, it's just getting more and more intense. It's just horrible.
Horrible.
Okay, so back to Congress and whatnot. Yesterday, okay, so I'm reading this. This is a tweet from yesterday. Lindsey Graham.
Ugh, God, could he be any more despicable? When you thought Lindsey Graham had reached the basement, we realize there's a cellar down there and a sub-cellar. And
a sub-sub-sub-cellar.
Hello.
Oh, God. Yeah. He says that, you know, if Republicans were in charge of the committee and control of the Senate, Ketanji Jackson would not have gotten a hearing.
Not even a hearing.
So Elie Mystal said, no shit. Thanks, Lindsey, for proving me and people like We Demand Justice right that Breyer had to retire now because a Republican-controlled Senate will never allow another Democratic nominee to be confirmed to the Supreme Court again. And he goes on to say, there's a second part to this.
Yeah.
The GOP has decided that only Republicans are allowed on the Supreme Court, right. And the Democrats would be wise to understand their enemy and meet them with the same level of commitment. Then Ian Millhiser is answering this from Maya Sen, who's a professor at Harvard. She says, I don't think people have fully understood this. Moving forward, we are looking at a frequently understaffed Supreme Court, which will, if Dems don't do the same, will probably exacerbate extreme partisan imbalance. Ian Millhiser says, for what it's worth, I think that Maya's prediction is too optimistic. I think the most likely future for the United States is the next GOP president executes a Viktor Orban-style transformation of the United States into competitive authoritarianism, with the GOP-controlled Supreme Court's blessing.
Oh yeah,
I think he's closer to the truth.
I think so, and it scares the shit out of me. And whether it's Donald Trump or moron death sentence, you know, he'll go down that road. Death sentence. I'll tell you something. He's more dangerous than Trump because he's educated.
He's smarter. Yeah.
He's better educated. Let me say that. I don't know how much sunk in because he sounds like a fucking moron every time he opens his mouth. But, you know, now he's declaring war on Disney. Did you hear that? Because Disney has come out against the Don't Say Gay bill law. It's a law now. Sorry, not a bill anymore. And so death sentence is like, you know, take your California-owned business back and, you know, God, everything about him makes my skin crawl. Everything.
No.
He's just evil.
Me too.
Evil.
Me too. Oh, going on about the court thing. So Romney voted yes.
Yeah.
And so Ellie Mistal said, that's 53 votes. Lindsay and Tillis not being a part of this is so churlish at this point.
Yep.
Sass not being a part of this is totally on brand. The media only thinks he's gettable because it falls for his act.
Yep.
He's goddamn Chuck Grassley with a smoother delivery.
Ooh. Ooh, burn. Burn.
Bam.
Yes. You know, let me tell you one other thing that you heard about this last year. Last year, death sentence signed into law, a measure that requires public state colleges, state universities, to conduct annual assessments of viewpoints and freedom of expression on campuses. You heard about this, right? He doesn't like that college campuses tend to have a more liberal bent. And so he said he's going to survey, viewpoints, right? So, and then the board of governors of each university and the state board of education would be required to compile and publish those results. Well, now they're starting with those surveys. In a letter to its members, though, the union, the United Faculty of Florida, urged faculty, staff, and students to ignore the survey, saying it would create a chilling effect on free speech and freedom of association on campus. The letter, here's some of the letter. Quote, Florida's government has no right to know the thoughts, feelings, or political or religious beliefs of anyone, including the higher education community. Privacy is the bedrock of democracy and a safeguard against autocratic control. Why do you think they want to take your privacy away? The union says that while the surveys are supposed to be anonymous, faculty members can be identified and tagged through questions about their demographic background and where they work. This is all Big Brother. This is all 1984 kind of shit.
Small government, right?
Right, small government, yeah. Give me a fucking break. This is disgusting, and I'm glad they're doing this, but this is the next battleground. This man will not stop. Florida, you know, and the right wingers bitched about Sharia law. Well, what do you think this is? This is Christian Sharia law.
Oh, and don't even get me started on gay rights, because that's the next big wave of battle. I mean, the culture wars are back, and it's like a dam burst open. Oh, yep. We can do this. Let's just do it. Let's just do it, guys. We've got the Supreme Court. We're good.
Yeah.
Which is everything you and I have warned about for the last 6 years.
Or more. Yeah. Or more. Yeah.
It's why I wanted to move to Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So onward. So Brian Tyler Cohen, he said it's basically a – oh, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can – I'm talking about Republican projection here, but I've got to click on this. It's basically a get out – oh, here it is. It's that Tennessee had a proposal making its way through the state legislature that would establish a common law marriage between one man and one woman, and including for children. It's basically a get-out-of-jail-free card for people who are committing statutory rape, said a lawmaker on the committee the bill passed out of. Excuse me, let me just go back, because there was more, I think. Hold on. No, it's not going to go back. Why is that going back? There we go. And then what I was adding, insult to injury, the next story I ran across was DeSantis has a faith advisor that was dismissed from church leadership after past history of sexual sin as a teacher. So my point here was it was a bunch of projection as usual. Everything always they come out with is a confession. If they accuse us, that's
that
their
means
way of
they're
confessing.
Doing it. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yep.
Yeah. So first we have, you know, marry a child, and then we have this faith advisor getting in trouble because of his sexual sin as a teacher. I mean, the hypocrisy is so horribly disgusting that I wish there were new words, because I'm going to make up like it's flebble. That's what it is. Just so flebble. I can't even stand it. Okay.
Flebble.
I can't deal with it. So we now know today, it broke, or yesterday, I guess, that Twitter
has
a new top shareholder, and that's Elon Musk. Oh. And today it came out that he's going to be on Twitter's board.
Right, because he is the largest shareholder. He owns still under 10%, but he's the biggest shareholder. So now he's on the board. And he says there will be some changes.
Oh, yes, I'm sure there will. So Sawyer Hackett, who used to work with Julian Castro, he said the newest member of Twitter's board of directors once went on Twitter and called a U.S. senator, Senator Karen, because Senator suggested he, the richest man in the world, should pay income taxes. He paid $0 in income taxes last year. $0. So I'm sure he'll have a thing or two to say about that once he gets some
Although
control.
I did hear, you know what his first priority is?
What?
And I agree edit with button? Him. An edit button.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I heard.
I want an edit button on Twitter. So
I don't believe anything he says anyway.
No, I don't.
And then Ellie Mistal said, I assume Elon Musk will use his influence on the Twitter board to argue that black Twitter should be offset from white Twitter. He'll call it normal Twitter, white Twitter. and then he'll only give white Twitter the edit function. Function is more like it.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with that. I just can't. Yeah.
That's why I said this edit thing. I don't trust anything either. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now I have some fun ones.
Okay.
They're all related. Okay. So I have three more left and they're all related.
Okay.
So Trump has Truth Social, his little social network that was supposed to be his version of Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, according to the Daily Beast, it's doing even worse than you thought.
Aww.
It plummeted to 28th, the 28th most popular social media platform in Apple App Store, lagging behind the likes of more obscure social networks. It's lagging behind more obscure social networks like Wiz, Be Real, and Bloomer Random Video Chat, which I've never heard of any of them. But then wait, it got worse. Oh. In only a matter of minutes after I tweeted that, the story came out again from the Daily Beast that two top tech executives ditched Trump's Speech Act. they quit as the company faces a lackluster number of users and plummeting signups.
Oh no!
Their names were Josh Adams and Billy Boozer.
Oh, okay.
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
They headed up the platform's technology and product development, and they both left after joining the company last year.
Billy Boozer. Oh, I got a clip for
Billy
him.
Boozer.
But in any event, we drank beer and. And still do. So whatever. Yeah.
And Coke, apparently. Sorry, that was Brett. Sometimes you need Brett saying, we drank beer. Yeah.
Oh, I hate Brett. Anyway, one more. It's my last one. So we have a lot of time. We can talk about.
We got the Joe and Barack show.
Yeah. The show. Okay. Aaron Ruppert came in with, it's pretty funny that Trump launched a social media platform that's so embarrassing that even he refuses to post on it.
Okay, at least we're laughing. All right. So,
thank you. Yes.
So, do you know what happened?
Yeah.
It was not 12 years ago today. It was 12 years ago, last week kind of thing, when this happened.
Today, after almost a century of trying, today, after over a year of debate. Today, after all the votes have been tallied, health insurance reform becomes law in the United States of America.
That was March 23rd. So, they're a little late. I guess, Barack's got a busy schedule. And then he said,
this legislation will also lower costs for families and for businesses and for the federal government, reducing our deficit by over $1 trillion in the next two decades. It is paid for, it is fiscally responsible, and it will help lift a decades-long drag on our economy. That's part of what all of you together worked on and made happen.
All right. So that was 12 years ago, March 23rd. Today's April 5th. So, close enough, I suppose. So today, Barack Obama returned to the White House for the first time since 2017. So, and so here's, I've got a few clips to share with you. So here's, you know, they all walk in the room. I don't know what room in the White House they're at, but there's a big, long, extended applause for Joe Biden. And this happens. Okay. And they keep, I cut off half of the applause in here.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the most applause he's ever gotten, I think. All right.
Thank you very much. Please.
Please.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Barack Obama's vice president.
At least you, you know.
And I'm Jill Biden's husband. By the way, the only reason Jill's not here today, she's working. She's teaching. And so I just want you to know that's why she's not here. Good afternoon, everyone.
Okay. So the
Mr.
next
President,
one.
Oh. Welcome back to the White House, man.
Whoops.
Feels like the good old days.
It feels like, oh, I guess I need to do it over here. Oops. Ah, man.
Brings back so many good memories. We just had lunch together and we weren't sure who was supposed to sit where. Look, it's fitting that the first time you return to the White House is to celebrate a law that's transforming millions of lives because of you. And I say because of you. We had a lot of help, the staff, and I helped a little bit, but it was because of you.
Yeah, and he wasn't talking to Obama. He was talking about to the people in the room.
Right.
Then here's
Thank
Obama.
You. Vice President Biden, Vice President. That was a joke.
That was a joke, and now he's going over and shaking his hand and whispering and hugging him.
And all the conspiracy theorists.
Of course.
Now.
So Monica Crowley.
That was all set up.
That was all set up. Okay, so Monica Crowley, who is a wingnut, she's like, oh, and now the regime is even being honest that this is Obama's third term. And I tweeted something back at her like, go crawl back under your rock. You know, you have no shadow, so there's six more weeks of winter or something ridiculous like that. All right, so continuing, here's a little more.
I confess, I heard some changes have been made by the current president since I was last here. Apparently, Secret Service agents have to wear aviator glasses now. The Navy mess has been replaced by Baskin-Robbins. And there's a cat running around, which I guarantee you, Bo and Sonny would have been very unhappy about.
Okay, a little more.
To get the bill passed, we had to make compromises. We didn't get everything we wanted. That wasn't a reason not to do it. If you can get millions of people health coverage and better protection, it is, to quote a famous American, a pretty big deal.
Well, he left out the fucking part. But, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, one more, and this is where then Joe Biden's going to go
We're
over and
United
sign
States of
something.
America,
united.
And there is simply, literally, nothing beyond our
united.
Capacity.
Yes.
When we're united and do it together.
United.
Oh, God bless you all. May God protect our troops. And now I'm going to sign an executive order. And Barack, let me remind you, it's a hot mic.
You know, I kind of miss the days when there was a sense of humor there. You know, we can say what we want about Barack Obama, and I've had my issues with him, and I still do. But, Johanna, it was nice to have a president who could...
Good delivery.
Could speak extemporaneously, had a sense of humor, was smart enough to... And his mind was clear enough to just, you know, wing it. To ad lib, to ad lib without creating a foreign crisis, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, this news just broke. Just so you know, GOP blocks advancing the COVID deal amid Trump era immigration fight.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Why am
so
I not surprised?
My ass. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Pro-life my ass.
Unbelievable. Well, totally believable. Yeah. Two more quick things. So I played for you that Brett Kavanaugh clip, and I pulled it for a reason. Okay, so real quickly, we drank beer.
And still do. So whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So that's who Madison Cawthorn was talking about. He got it a little confused. Here's old Madison.
About to get serious.
Yes, I am.
With Kevin Spacey, and I forget who else was in it. But anyway.
Really well done show.
Very well done show.
Very well done show.
But it was so dirty, and it was about this congressman who was Kevin Spacey, who was, I think it was minority or majority whip.
Yep.
What was it? Yeah. And so, anyway, very, very powerful guy. And it was just kind of like his secret life.
This is some podcast.
All this corruption and power and money and perversion. And it was just dirty. How much, in your opinion, because you've been behind the veil.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a fictitious show? Or is this more closer to like a documentary? Is it that bad?
So I heard a former president that we had in the 90s was asked the question about this. And he gave an answer that I thought was so true. And he said, the only thing that's not accurate in that show is that you could never get a piece of legislation about education passed that quickly.
And everything else is good?
Aside from that, I mean, the sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, it, being kind of a young guy in Washington, the average age is probably 60 or 70. And I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, I've always paid attention to politics, guys that, you know, then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Yeah. And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, you know, addiction in our country. And you watch them do, you know, a key bump of cocaine.
A key bump of cocaine right in front of you.
This is wild.
How would he know what a key bump is? Because I promise you, somebody who doesn't do cocaine wouldn't know what a key bump is. It's like a little bit of blow on the end of a key and you go... But why? Who would use that term unless they're so? He's wrong. It's not the senators. It's not the 60 and 70 year olds.
But in any event, we drank beer and still do. So whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, him. That's who Madison Cawthorn was. And did that guy, that twerp wearing the backwards baseball cap? That guy has. In the
what is he doing
Congress?
In Congress?
Oh my God.
He's like 12.
Yeah.
He's an immature 12.
Yes,
that's even
an
worse.
Immature 12. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's awful. Just,
so, anyway, that's what I got. Oh, David's here. Yes, David.
David.
Hi, Laffy.
Yes?
Someone who actually did cocaine.
Yes, never heard of a key bump.
Would just say a bump.
A bump. They wouldn't say a key bump.
I was just talking to a friend of mine who told me that.
Oh, okay.
So, credible source, passed that on to me.
I understand.
They would just say a bump, not a key bump.
Gotcha. Yeah, I never heard the term key bump either, and I figured it's the key.
Again, not having been involved in that
culture. I understand, me either.
That's why I talked to my buddy.
I understand. Your buddy Bump. Yes, is that where he got his name?
As you know, I actually do have a friend named Bump. No,
who was a former baseball player.
Correct. He got his nickname because he...
Was bumpy?
He was a bump in his mom's belly.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Okay. Hey, you learn something new every day. All right. What? Oh, I turned you down by mistake.
Font of information.
Yes, a font of information. Oh, I did that again. I thought I was playing the music and I played our opening again. Oh, and it's only Tuesday. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Yeah, Pamela says we called them lines. Well, there were lines.
That
lines, yeah. A bump is just like a little, but a line is, you know, yeah. It makes my nose itch.
And then this is
right.
A mess.
Yeah, but can we hear Brett again? Because he goes, damn it. I closed that. Okay, here it is. Listen to the sniff.
But in any event, we drank beer and
we drank beer and
so whatever. Yeah.
He and Donald. Oh God. So what do we do? I think we have a big, you know, end of the world party when it is apparent that it's coming.
That's what they did in Don't Look Up. They had an end of the world dinner.
Right. All right. We can do that because that's where we're going. Don't Look Up. Foretold what this IPCC report is saying. We're fucked and not in a good way. So
no. Very bad. I'm going to go drink now. You don't mind, do you?
I'm going to go. Well, not that. I'll do the other. You know, the other thing that I don't ever do before a show because I couldn't speak. You know, that kind of thing. By the way, I do need to tell you about what they're doing here in Florida, because again, it's Florida with the medical marijuana. They put a new rule into effect that you can only get as much as you've gotten over the last like 60 days. It's a rolling thing. So to get you to keep buying more, because if you buy less and then you go wanting more than you got the month before, they won't sell it to you. It's extortion. It's ridiculous. Just legalize it already.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. See you next time.
I got nothing.
Tell me about it. Sandy says it's not going to be like that, guys. It's not going to be like that at all. It's going to be an extinction event. It's an extinction event where we are living through the Anthropocene. Oy. All right. Sandy's going to have to come back on. Maybe I do this interview for Brad's show on Friday, and maybe, well, we'll run it on this show next week, but maybe we have Environmental Coffee House come back on and tell us what's in this stupid report.
I'd rather not know right now.
Well, yeah, but that's not the answer either.
I meant right now.
I know. Right now? No.
Right now.
Gotcha.
In another hour, I'll be ready to know again.
Okay. But all right.
It's all a little overwhelming right now.
No shit. It is. Mm-hmm. So let's just go. Let's go get stoned to quote a song. It's a song. Let's go get stoned. You don't want me to sing, so I'll just do it in my head, and I'll leave you with the news. All right, Laffy, I'll see you on the Twitters and back here in 2 weeks. You know, the week after next, because it's the way she likes it. Just saying.
That's the way I roll.
That's the way she rolls.
That's all right. The way I key bump.
Tomorrow, Digby's going to be here, though. So we got
that. I love Digby.
Me too. So Digby tomorrow. Same time, same place. You know, earlier. But regular, earlier. I'm going to shut up now. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive
Judge
Voices
Ketanji
Network.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will be confirmed as the newest Supreme Court justice by the end of the week. After the Senate Judiciary Committee vote was tied 11-11, the full body voted 53-47 to discharge the nomination from the committee. We already knew that Susan Collins supported her confirmation, but on Monday, Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney also voted yes. Both cited her qualifications, record, and experience as reasons for their vote, Murkowski adding, quote, "It also rests on my rejection of the corrosive politicization of the review process for Supreme Court nominees, which on both sides of the aisle is growing worse and more detached from reality by the year." So, this procedural vote sets up Jackson to be confirmed later in the week as the first Black woman and the first justice to have served as a public defender to serve on the high court. Now, in the midst of this confirmation debate, the Senate was also seemingly stalled on a new COVID relief bill. It's whittled down by more than half to $10 billion due to the Republicans' demand that the whole cost be offset. As that was happening, Mitt Romney announced a bipartisan deal on the package. But an amendment fight over immigration remains, so it's unclear whether they'll be able to iron it out before a planned two-week recess. Meanwhile, House Democrats are openly complaining about the lack of global vaccination money in the package, arguing that it'll be impossible to move on from the pandemic unless the rest of the world does too. And for that to happen, we need a global vaccination plan. President Biden on Monday called for putting Russian President Vladimir Putin on trial for war crimes over Ukraine's report that it found mass graves and streets littered with dead civilians in areas where Russian troops had just withdrawn.
He is a war criminal, but we have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need to continue the fight. And we have to gather all the detail so this can be have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal. And what's happening in Bucha is outrageous. And everyone's seen it. No, I think it is a war crime.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky toured the town of Bucha, where dead civilians were found face down in the streets, and urged the media to, quote, show the world what happened here. European leaders called for tougher sanctions against Russia. Moscow denied targeting civilians and accused Ukraine of, quote, stage-managed anti-Russia provocation. This morning, Zelensky addressed the UN Security Council.
I am addressing you on behalf of the people who honor the memory of the deceased every single day in the memory of the civilians who died, who were shot and killed in the back of their head after being tortured. Some of them were shot on the streets. Others were thrown into the wells. So they died there in suffering. They were killed in their apartments, houses, blowing up grenades. Civilians were crushed by tanks while sitting in the cars in the middle of the road just for their pleasure. They cut off limbs, slashed their throats. Women were raped and killed in front of their children. Their tongues were pulled out only because the aggressor did not hear what they wanted to hear from them. So this is no different from other terrorists such as Daesh, who occupied some territories. And here it is done by a member of the United Nations Security Council.
Zelensky also says the number of civilian casualties may be even higher in other cities liberated from Russian control. And he went on to suggest that they do one of two things. Either remove Russia from the Security Council so they don't have veto power anymore, or they should dissolve the Security Council altogether because it seems all they can do is talk. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what President Zelensky said. Meanwhile, new footage from the city of Mariupol shows the latest devastation, where Ukrainian officials say around 90% of residential buildings have been damaged or destroyed as a result of intense bombardment. An evacuation convoy heading into the city was also turned back by Russian forces. Well, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued another report, and they're not pulling any punches. The takeaway is, it's now or never. They say even if humanity manages to immediately phase out fossil fuels and rein in greenhouse gas emissions, planetary warming is likely to, at least temporarily, soar past 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Why is that important? Well, the 1.5 degree goal set in the landmark 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change marks the point at which climate experts say the world will reach a tipping point where even small additional changes could trigger dramatic shifts in ecosystems. And the possibility of keeping it to that point? Well, apparently that will require preventing greenhouse gas emissions from increasing after 2025 at the latest. And the co-chair of the IPCC working group, Jim Skay, said in a statement accompanying the report, quote, without immediate and deep emissions reductions across all sectors, it will be impossible, end quote. Jury selection began Monday in the death penalty trial of the young man who killed 17 students and staff members at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida in 2018. The now 23-year-old shooter actually pleaded guilty in October, so this jury will only determine whether he should receive the death penalty or life in prison without parole. The prospective jurors under consideration will return in several weeks for questioning about their views on capital punishment and whether they could judge this defendant fairly. But the thing to keep in mind is the penalty phase trial is expected to last between 4 and 6 months. Elon Musk purchased 9.2% of Twitter's stock on Monday, making him the largest shareholder in the company. He didn't disclose what he paid for the shares, but his stake was worth nearly $3 billion based on Friday's closing price. Musk didn't reveal his reasoning behind the purchase or his plans for the company, but he has been a high-profile critic of Twitter policies in the past, and he did say changes would be made. Stay tuned. And finally, because we need to end on a little bit of good news, one more reason to love Colorado. Joining a handful of other states in codifying the right to abortion in anticipation of the Supreme Court ruling on a case challenging Roe v. Wade, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed into law the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which bans local governments from imposing their own restrictions on reproductive care. Pola said, quote, Colorado has been and will be a pro-choice state. No matter what the Supreme Court does in the future, people in Colorado will be able to choose when and if they have children. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.